The payment that I make every month, it's consumed by the interest. I'm not even paying the capital. But when I make this top up, that's when I can see then I am making a huge change. Yes, only that made me realize, like, if I stick to this one, yes, they give me the minimum. I'll take forever to finish. Because I'm not even touching the capital. I'm paying 500 Rand. They're charging me an interest of 400 Rand. What was 100 Rand against that debt? But then I saw if I add another 500 Rand on top of it, actually I am taking this debt and I'm going to finish it quite sooner. So that was quite nice to see.
Welcome to the Santam Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And me, Mapalo Maku. To give our listeners a bit of background, we have been working with Santam staff members where we take them through a money bootcamp.
And last year, after seeing the amazing changes that these individuals went through, we realized that there was an opportunity to take this money journey to a broader audience. So thank you so much to Santam for sponsoring this podcast.
So Maya, in our last episode, we spoke about credit. But what if you have too much debt? Reality is that most people are struggling right now and they can't meet their debt repayments, partly because they took on too much debt without understanding the impact of their living standards. But the massive interest rate hikes over the last 3 years has had a huge impact on people's ability to meet their monthly obligations.
Especially on that home loan. People 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Rand increases.
It's been devastating for a lot of people.
Very, very devastating.
And also, not just the interest rate, Maya, that inflation has been high, so everything else has just gone higher and higher and higher.
And it's getting tougher. But now, you know, that voice clip at the beginning of the discussions, that was one of our mentees, Tatu, and I recorded her discussing with me the realization of how just a little bit extra into that debt repayment has had such a big impact. And I think that's what we really want to talk about today is to understand that you may have this huge mountain of debt and you feel like you're drowning, but if you put a little bit of a plan in place, it actually starts shifting really, really quickly.
No, absolutely, Maya. And for me, one of the first things that you know, you need to do even before you say, how do I pay off my debt? Know exactly who you owe. And that's why in the last episode, it was so important for you to go download the credit agreement template. So you write every single thing down. The interest rate that you owe, the fees that go with that type of debt. Because what we do often, we just focus on what's coming out of our account every month and that's it.
Absolutely. To understand what it is that you're actually paying, the interest rate, the fees, there's usually credit insurance. A lot of people don't even know about that. Really, really important to start understanding what is my debt situation. It usually shocks a lot of people, especially when, you know, you see the monthly installments going off, but when you add up how much debt is outstanding, people suddenly, it's like hundreds of thousands of Rand. And that realization is quite a shock. So it does start with a little bit of shock therapy. And then, of course, it starts with going back to perhaps the first few episodes where we spoke about budgeting. It is about sitting down and saying, where do I find a little bit of extra cash? It doesn't have to be a lot, just a little bit extra.
But what I've also found, Maya, is if someone has an extra 300 Rand, they think to themselves, what is my measly 300 bucks going to do towards this heaps and heaps of debt? And I always say, just give yourself a chance. Just try it and see.
But I think that's what Tata was saying at the beginning of this episode was, you don't realize, but that 300 Rand that you put into that debt is going straight to the debt. It's not going to interest. So it starts to really start to make a difference. It starts to pay off. You suddenly owe 300 Rand less. And the next month, it's another 300 Rand less. And I think that brings me to the snowball method. We can talk about different ways to pay off debt, but I love the snowball method. And the snowball method is, rather than trying to tackle everything at once, because that just becomes overwhelming, it's to select your smallest debt first. And it's usually a store card for most people. The smallest debt first and say, right, I'm going to pay that off. So maybe that extra 300, 400 Rand that you have, you hit that debt first and you pay that off as quickly as possible. And you'll actually pay it off quite quickly, right? Because it's a small debt. Now, suddenly, all the money that you're putting in there, so maybe your store card was 500 Rand a month. Then you added in the other, let's say it's 500 Rand a month. You add in another 400 because you found that in your budget. It's now 900 Rand a month. And you pay off that store card as quickly as possible. Once that's paid off, you now have 900 rand to add to the other debt. The other, maybe the personal loan that you're currently paying 1,000 rand to. Now you're paying 1,900. Exactly. And bit by bit by bit, you start to pay off your debts that way.
No, Maya, I have an example for you. So one of the ladies, I was doing a coaching session. So she did, you know, she wrote down all her debts, the outstanding balance and how much she's paying every single month, the whole works. And I said to her, I'm going to bet you that I'm going to have you paying off the store account in 3 months. And she said, there's no way. I said, I bet you. Okay. And I said, we're going to go through your budget because that's where you start. And I said, you see, all this impulsive purchases. And you know when her impulsive purchases happened? Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Habits. We spoke about habits with Sibongile in our second episode on budgeting.
And do you know what I had her do? Every Friday, she does an allowance for the week. So her week starts from Friday. And that completely shifted things for her. And you know how much debt, the smallest debt that she had was 6,300 bucks. Within 3 months, she had paid it off.
What did she owe you as a result?
She owed me to never get herself into debt again.
But that's it. It's just, I have seen this. I mean, I've been doing this for years now with Money Makeover, and we were doing it with the mentees. And it's incredible. That is the thing that strikes them the most, is how fast the debt starts paying off and how those little bit of money. I remember one woman, Nono, she said to me, Maya, it was all the lying around money. She called it the lazy money. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. She said, I just took the lazy money that was, it was in my account, so I'd go off and buy something with it because it was there.
Yeah.
And suddenly I gave it direction and I put it into my debt. I mean, she within a year had paid off her car. I mean, she paid off so much debt with lazy money that she hadn't earmarked to repay debt. So it's absolutely incredible what can really happen. So I think for me, that is it. Instead of sitting there, filling in that spread, first of all, finding the bit of the extra money, the impulse spending, doing your habits. So remember, we're building on this. In the first two episodes we did around budgeting, we've spoken about responsible borrowing. Now we're reaching a point where you're saying, right, go do the budget, find that little bit of extra money and start targeting these debts. Find the smallest debt, hit that first. But of course, the whole time, what happens when you pay off the store card? What do you need to do?
Oh, cut off that card. Don't ever use it.
Close it because you keep going back into debt. If you keep those credit lines available, you're going to reach a point where you're going to want to go back into debt.
And another thing, Maya, I just want to add to that. You can actually pick up the call because on your statement, it will show you how much you owe, the whole works. But sometimes there's no account number in which you can pay this amount into. So pick up the phone and say, please give me an account number where I can pay into the extra amounts. And because sometimes month-to-month things are slightly different, or sometimes people have side hustles that this month it's been good, you have that account, save it as a beneficiary so that you don't have to think about it and directly just pay that amount into that account. I've seen, even with her, that lady I did a coaching session with, she was like, it was always like, who do I call? What do I do? It takes just one call. This is your reference number. Pay into this account and, you know, just get the ball rolling.
And also just check your statements every month to make sure the money's being allocated. That's probably another. But, you know, I was thinking about one of the women I was working with. She had a Woolworths statement, I think it was, one of those cards. And she couldn't believe that when she had broken down, so she was paying in like 500 rand a month, how little of it was going to the debt. Ooh. By the time she had you know, there's the store card, there's a service fee, there was the interest, then there was the credit balance protection, there was this at the other. She was horrified that only about 300 of the 500 actually going
towards the debt,
to the actual original debt. So that is what also I think when you're filling in these forms, when you fill in that spreadsheet or when you're looking at your statements, really start to understand. And then think, well, if I'm paying in 500, only 300 is going to actually pay off the debt. What if I add another 300 in? Then 600 is going to actually going straight to debt. You see, it's understanding how much. You're basically doubling the amount that's actually going to pay off that debt just with small amounts. I think it is about just understanding how that, you know, that how that whole process works. But of course, we're talking now about, you know, being in a situation where you can, you know, start a snowball method. You start to target each debt and you get through it. there are times where people just don't have enough money.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with that?
Ooh, Maya. You know, I and I'm not vilifying anyone, right? But I always say when someone says, I just don't have enough. And when you say, let's go back to budgeting, let's see what is it that you can let go of in this season. Because I've realized that also the language that we use when you're sitting in front of someone, when you start thinking about debt and how much you don't have, people think, oh my goodness, I'm going to live like a pauper forever. And yet, I want to stress to you, the listener, that think about it as a season of your life, that you can focus all of your efforts, whatever extra that you can find, whatever you can give up, whatever downgrading you need to do to get through paying off debt, right? Because I find that it's very easy to say, okay, if I can't pay it, I can't pay it. So let's move into debt consolidation. Let's move into debt review, whatever it is. You know, all these solutions or what seems like solutions. And yet you actually have the power within you to, you know,
you can downgrade. You can actually do it.
You can
downgrade, pay it off, and you're back on track.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's also taught you in downgrading and managing your budget, going back to episode two, you know, doing the budget, because that gives you lifelong habits that are always going to be with you. But, you know, you mentioned debt consolidation. And so on my website, there are the two words that are most frequently Googled on my searched for are debt consolidation and forex trading.
Oh my
which
word.
Which kind of sums up, I think, a lot of people's desperation. So they think, I'm in debt. Let me trade my way out of it through forex. Please, guys, I am anti-forex trading. I think I need to make that absolutely clear. And I've got enough evidence to support that. But the reason people look for debt consolidation is they're looking for solutions.
Yeah.
So one of my problems, let me just explain debt consolidation. And the difference between that and debt review, because that's very different. So debt consolidation is when you go and you take a single loan and you pay off all of your other loans and you're only paying back one loan. And I have seen people use this, and I have from time to time recommended it, but I want to give a lot of like warning signs around this. So what a lot of people do is, in fact, people I've seen in the worst positions of debt have been people who have already used debt consolidation. Mm-hmm. So they've gone along, they've thought this was a solution, they've taken the single loan, paid off all their other loans, and what do? They go back and they borrow again from those other loans. So they don't close down the credit facilities. So now they've got a debt consolidation loan. And because they haven't changed behavior, because they're still spending the way they were spending, they haven't done a budget, they haven't done anything or changed their lifestyle, they now just start taking on more credit. So suddenly they've got a debt consolidation loan plus other lines of credit, and then they blow out completely. And guess what happens when you try and do debt consolidation the second time? The banks say, whoa, no, you're now high risk. You have now maxed out your credit lines and you can't do debt consolidation. And the other thing I find with debt consolidation is, so often if you can negotiate a lower interest rate, so maybe you've got high interest loans sitting at 25, 26%, and maybe you're able to get a debt consolidation loan at 18%, okay? That's pretty good. But what often the debt consolidation loan does is it extends the period of the repayment.
Of course.
So you sit there and you say, oh, well, my debt repayments are going to drop a lot. They're going to go from 5,000 to 3,000 rand. And you think it's just because of the interest rate, and it's not. Mm. It's because they've extended the repayment period. And over that time, you will pay back so much more.
They will still make their money.
They will make their money. You will pay back so much more on those installments over the longer period of time. So again, it comes back to understanding total repayments. What is the total cost of this loan? And making sure that does it make sense? Because I think, again, we know we've spoken about this in Borrowing Responsibly. Make sure it makes sense. Get your quotes and look at it very, very carefully.
Very carefully. And I think, Maya, it's exactly what we were talking about earlier, that most of these institutions, they have two things to play with: interest rates and time. If the interest rate you think it's low, look at the time that they're giving you.
Exactly. Always say, how much, what is the rand? If this loan is going to cost me, if I'm borrowing 100,000 and I'm going to pay back 200,000, or another loan that says I'm going to borrow 100, I'm going to pay back 150,000, the one for 150,000 is cheaper than the other one, irrespective of any of the other numbers you're looking on there. Okay.
Yes.
And it's usually, as you said, it's time.
Yeah.
The longer you take to pay back a loan, the more expensive it is. So I'm not a big fan of debt consolidation as a solution. I have used it before with people where I have seen it work, But one of the things that I have seen debt consolidation working quite well, and again, it's only used if you are disciplined and you're going through a budgeting process and all the rest, is on credit cards. Because, you know, we spoke about the problem with credit cards and how you get into this thing where you don't actually know how much you're spending because you spend and you pay back, and it's like a revolving facility, really. Whereas you say, right, I'm closing my credit card completely. I may owe $100,000 on my credit card. Sure. Trust me, I've seen more. You close it and you convert that into a term loan. And you know that maybe it's a 3-year loan that I'm taking, and I know in 3 years' time I will be fully paid off, and it's done, and I cut my credit card up. In those sort of disciplined environments, I do see it work. But again, it comes – I just want to keep going again. It doesn't – if you don't change your behavior, nothing's going
to
change.
Yeah, that debt consolidation loan is not going to help you in the long run. You're just going to go back to the very same things. So what about debt review, Maya? What is – debt review.
Oh, goodness, my beloved. Debt review, debt counseling. It's, you know, I have followed this as a journalist from its inception many, many, many years ago. And it really came about, and it was a really great idea. And the idea was, if you reach a point where you are truly unable to repay your debts, and I'm not talking about because you've got a lifestyle that you want to maintain, I'm talking about that you cut everything and you still can't repay your debts, and you want to avoid judgments. Okay, getting, and believe you me, once you go on administration and judgments, your life becomes misery. It was like a Hail Mary. It was kind of like a, we've got another solution for you. And this is debt counseling. And debt counseling is, you will your creditors will all come to an agreement about a new repayment period. Not only period, it's actually they cut the interest rates. They'll often say, right, so we'll cut your interest rates from 20% down to even 1%, or, you know, that kind of environment, and you will be able to pay it off then within 5 years. But it's court ordered. So court, you actually...
So it's a legal
it's
process.
It's a legal process. So, and during that period of however long you're paying it off for, you are not able to borrow any money ever again. You, during that period, you cannot have any
other
debt.
But you're under rehabilitation.
You're under rehabilitation.
That should be.
No, no,
it should
be. So you can't. And the other thing is that you cannot exit debt review until you've paid off all of your debts, except for your home loan. That's the only one you don't have to have paid off. And the problem I'm seeing is twofold. I'm seeing that people don't always understand when they enter debt review what they're getting themselves into. 4 or 5 months down the line, they have a life event and they need to access credit and they can't. I'm seeing, because they didn't understand the consequence of it, I'm seeing people who don't need to be in debt review thinking it's a nice way to get a lower interest rate.
Oh my word.
And again, finding that the consequences of all their decisions are quite bad. The biggest problem I'm seeing with debt counseling is, sadly, really unethical players. And there are a lot of unethical players. So these are people who phone you and they say to you, hi, we can help you lower your interest rate. That should not be the reason you enter debt review.
Yes.
You should only be entering debt review because you physically
last resort.
Have no other options, and you will default and you will have a judgment against you. That's why you're entering it. And often people are going into a debt review who are not over indebted, and they're being tricked often into it. So I've got, sadly, I think it is an amazing mechanism for someone who needs it. And, you know, I did Money Makeover last year. We had one of our candidates, Johan, and we used debt review extremely effectively. I mean, it was incredible. His debt repayments halved. He will be debt-free within 5 years. An amazing, amazing process for someone who genuinely was spending nearly his entire salary on repayments. So, yes, he needed it. But I think far too many people are going into it not understanding it or actually being tricked into it. So I sit on both sides of the fence on this, and I don't think it's something that you should be entered into lightly at all.
Yeah. And Maya, so, you know, I think the pull here for debt review is, okay, you won't get blacklisted, as people call it, and the fact that your interest rates are going to be lower. Is it possible for individuals, if you're highly indebted, to pick up the phone and start calling all your credit providers and say, you know what, I'm in financial trouble, I want to pay you back, but can you lower the interest rate or can you work out some sort of a plan?
Absolutely. For me, that is the first call you make, is actually to your creditors. And you phone them and you say, I'm in this situation, what are my options? Can you assist me? And what we've seen since COVID, we've seen a big shift in the banks and the credit providers. Before, they were quite hard. And now they've realized that life happens. And I mean, the banks are burning now because they've seen their clients who were quite capable of paying their home loans now really struggling. And it's starting to hurt. So I think that is the first port of call, to go and engage with your creditors and saying, what are my options? Can I extend my period of my repayments? Can you relook at my interest rate? I think one of the problems that I have is that we haven't created a mechanism yet where creditors will lower the interest rates unless it's a court order, unless it's done within the debt review system. Mm. And I think the reason for that is the debt review system is done, it's called debt counseling rule system, is done that all creditors equally share the interest rate cut. Whereas I think some creditors are saying, well, why am I giving the interest rate cut and not another one?
I see.
So, I mean, there is another space called debt mediation, but it's not really being done that well in South Africa. But I think there is another option. But I think you as an individual should, before you go into debt review, please contact your bank or your credit providers, whoever they are, and say, listen, I'm in financial difficulty. What are my options? Can you lower my interest rate? And banks are becoming more and more keen to see you at least repaying the capital, even if they have to go be a little bit more flexible on other areas. I'm seeing a little bit more of a shift because there is an understanding and a sympathy around the fact that people are finding themselves more and more indebted with the interest rates being so high, and of course COVID, the knock-on of unemployment and things like that.
And I mean, it's just the interest rates just having gone up by so much. Like you were saying, you'll find a couple who were able to afford their home loan, never missed a payment, and all of a sudden, you know, that should tell you something because, like we mentioned earlier in the budgeting episode, that they know you more than you know yourself when it comes to your money patterns. So I think definitely it should call for. And I mean, you can also pick up the phone and say, I have been good, I have paid every single month, I've been consistent, but you know, this is what's happening. And I think, yeah, they should be quite open to that.
But one of the things I really want to encourage people again to do is to just first make the cuts yourself and see what you can cut back on your day-to-day lifestyle in order to pay your debt. And I had a guy about 2 years ago, we were working with him, where he, you know, his wife had lost her job during COVID. And so to make ends meet, he took out a facility loan. One of those revolving loans absolutely hate. Those are the ones where they say, we give you a 50,000 rand facility and you can draw on it as and when you need. And next thing is you're at 50,000.
And you never pay it off.
And he went from a position where they didn't have enough money to make ends meet that he needed this facility to now having to pay 3,500 rand a month back on this facility. So where did the 3,500 rand a month supposed to come from?
Yes.
So you borrow to solve a problem, but you didn't have the money to pay back in the first place. So you've got to think about this stuff. But then once we made him do a proper budget, he realized he never needed that loan because they could actually have come out in his salary.
Wow.
And that goes back again to this reluctance to shift your lifestyle, goes back to survival budget. Mm. You have every single household should have a survival budget. I know this is the absolute bare minimum
that we need to bring in this household if
something happens. Because, and he said that to me, he said, if I'd done a budget, I wouldn't have taken that loan.
Mm.
So again, it comes back to, are we taking on debt because we just don't want to face the reality of having to cut back?
To shift our lifestyle and adjust to what, you know, Maya, I did a podcast with John Smith, and he was saying something very similar. He said, obviously, when he was playing for the Bucks and was captain, he was earning well, then they sort of continued on that once he retired. Then 12 months later, the wife said, we need to sit down on this. We need to sit down on this. You're not earning the same amount anymore. But our lifestyle we've maintained a similar lifestyle. So they reviewed, sold their house, bought a house that's still pretty good in a good neighborhood. But that realization that no, the winds have changed and our budget must adjust accordingly as well. Maya, I have a question. So people often ask, but debt review, if I get under debt review, how will it impact my credit score? Mm. And I'm like, if you are seriously considering debt review, that should be your last worry. How is my credit score?
Well, your credit score is probably shot already,
yes,
right? So this is such a brilliant point. If you don't have a bad credit score, you probably don't need debt review.
Yes.
Right, okay. So if your credit score is already in trouble, if you need debt review. And what's very interesting for me is that debt review, the credit scores actually improve. because you go into a system where you are meeting your payments every month, right?
Consistently.
So suddenly, debt review usually lasts about 4 to 5 years. So now suddenly the credit bureau has data of 4 to 5 years of you meeting all your monthly payments. And actually it improves your credit score. So when you come out of debt review, during debt review, there's a symbol that shows you're under debt review. It doesn't give you a score. But once you come out of debt review, you actually remember your credit record's based on your previous payments. So yeah. It actually, you suddenly discover that you have a very good credit score. You've paid off all your debt. You don't have all these store cards and all the other things. So your credit score jumps quite a bit, but it doesn't mean you can go out the next day and buy a house or a car. And I'll tell you why, because the banks will want to see a period of sustained rehabilitation after that. So they'll want to wait 6 months to a year before a big credit, item. And I mean, please don't go immediately and get a credit card, because that's the thing that got you in trouble in the first place. But a lot of people want to buy a home when they come out of debt review. And just be realistic that the bank's probably going to want to see 6 months to a year of responsible behavior on the bank account before doing that. But definitely, it actually can improve your credit score.
In the long run. So definitely worth looking into. Yeah. Another thing people complain about is, I've paid off my debt, but it's still on my credit report that, I had... I had some sort of blacklisting, as people normally call it. How do they go about not having that on your credit report?
So any missed payments or bad payment sits on your account on your statement or your report for 24 months. So it has to work out the system.
Yes.
So that's quite important. But if you have paid off a debt and it's showing it's not reflected that debt's paid up, so it should say paid up, then you must contact the credit bureau and show them the settlement letters. That is very important. In fact, extremely important to check your credit record.
Yes.
We haven't probably covered enough of that, because your credit record, there can be incorrect information on there, which is hurting your credit score, but there can also be ID theft. And some people only discover that they're a victim of ID theft when they start getting summonses from banks and all sorts of things. I know someone who did not know that he'd bought a Pajero.
A whole Pajero
Had been bought in his name.
Oh, my word.
And I mean, the most common at the moment are cell phones, Vodacom, MTN. People are buying contracts, getting the phone, using your name. And you can pick that up very quickly in your credit report, because it'll suddenly show that you have those accounts. So really important to check your credit score.
Very important. I was doing a webinar once, Maya, and we were talking about the importance of checking your credit report. And someone said, no, but I don't need to check my credit score because I'm not going to access credit anytime soon. I said, good and well, but there is identity theft. And lo and behold, before the end of the webinar, she had checked and she owed Ackermans 7,000 rand. She's like, I haven't even stopped there.
Yeah, 7,000 rand Ackermans.
7,000.
And
the hassle to try and get that out of the way and prove that it wasn't you. You have to go to the police, do an affidavit. It's a whole mess.
Yeah, what an amazing story. When I first checked my credit record many, many years ago, when credit records started to become a thing you had to check, I discovered that I had a credit card with Standard Bank. A blue bean credit card at Standard Bank.
I still remember it.
And I do, because it was in the days before the National Credit Act where a bank could send you a credit card for no – they just sent it to me.
What?
And if I didn't cancel it, then I just had fees building. Now, I didn't even remember getting the credit card. It wasn't ID theft. It was just the bank had decided to issue me a credit card.
That is insane.
And then with monthly fees. So it was – I was owing like 3 years' worth of monthly fees on this credit card. So it's a really important thing to go and check. Yeah,
it was the wild, wild west.
It was the wild west. Well, I think some ways things have got better, but some ways have got worse.
Yeah.
Because I know that I couldn't have bought a car over 6 years. Those sort of contracts didn't exist. So I think it was I'm not sure if it's necessarily all got better, to be perfectly honest. But I wanted to, I think we've dealt with, find the extra cash, make the cuts. Don't sit there trying to think that something's going to come along. And please don't think it's going to be Forex trading, for heaven's sake. Find the extra cash. Target the smallest debt. Gives you that psychological win. There's such a win to paying off a debt. Yeah. That first debt's gone. It's like, oh, I've done it. It's fantastic. But I wanted to share this clip from one of the mentees last year, Andiswa, just to motivate you, because she had you may have heard from her if you listened to the first episode about money and emotions, where her and her husband really had to start talking about money, and they came with very, very different money personalities, and she had to bring him on board to pay off, to get to pay off their debts. And he was absolutely blown away by how fast those debts were coming down. And I want to just share this clip with you.
So to see it reduced by that much, it was quite nice because it meant that when reducing that tie that we have with debt and getting a bit of freedom back in terms of our finances. And for him, it was very exciting because it was like, now I can practically see this. I can practically see the impact of this journey and the sacrifices and the decisions that we've made. So now the results, we're actually seeing the results. So he was, yeah, it was quite exciting. And also now we actually started making plans for the future. Okay, if we put this much more, then this is where we're going to get and this is what we're going to achieve. So it also proves that it's not just talk, but actually impacts on the real life, on your everyday life and your finances. So yeah, it was quite exciting to see it reduce. And to see it reduce in such a short time because of great sacrifices, it was exciting. And it's something that could be done.
Okay. So, I mean, that was just, it was beautiful. And I must just say, Andiswa said to me, you know, Maya, we're now starting to say, well, when these debts are paid, what are we going to do with this extra money? You know, how are we going to start saving for our children's education and things like that? So I hope that that ended off on a positive note so that if you're all sitting there saying, oh, but it's so hard to do, you know, the motivation, just seeing those debt coming down so quickly, knowing that when you've paid off all those debts, you're going to have this disposable income that you can start putting to real life things that you want, like educating your children. Maybe it's a holiday somewhere, something nice that you just don't feel like it's a burden. So that's I think that's a little bit of motivation. And please, please go, if you haven't done so already, go complete that spreadsheet. There's a budgeting spreadsheet. It'll help you find the extra money. There's a spreadsheet with your credit agreements that's really, really going to help you as well. And please share the insights with us. You can drop us a voice note at WhatsApp 062 174 0145.